Vital sign number four is what we're looking at today. The first week we talked about God, the Holy Spirit, as a person. When we think about the Holy Spirit, some of us get a little bit confused, some maybe even fearful. Back in the day, he had a name often attributed to him from the King James Version of the Bible. We called him the Holy Ghost, and that would scare people sometimes. Using that phraseology, but we learned that the first vital sign is that the Holy Spirit is a person. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Holy Spirit. If you have a picture of God the Father, you've got a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's a person and He's with us always. There's never a time when the Holy Spirit is not with us. So the first vital sign is recognizing the Holy Spirit is a person and that He's with you. The second vital sign we looked at was that the Holy Spirit being with us is one part, but he's in us. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, He takes up residence in our life. And then He begins to transform us into the nature of Jesus. So there should be what we call fruit. Out of Galatians chapter 5, there are these characteristics or qualities that are the nature of the Holy Spirit that He reproduces in us, like a tree produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our life. And those things are love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and the like. We should be seeing these things develop and grow and mature in our lives. That's a vital sign of our spirituality. These things should be growing. If they're not, we might need a spiritual checkup to find out if we're actually spiritually healthy or not. Last week we talked about that there is a power, that the Holy Spirit is real, He's with us, He's a person, He's in us, He produces fruit in us, but not just so that we can be nice people and kind and good, but He gives us power to do what He's commanded us to do, and that is literally to reach the world with His message, that He is God. That like Marcus said, that He is one God and that He died on the cross for us to give us life, to give us life with Him. That the Holy Spirit indwells us to endue us with power, sometimes miraculously, in amazing ways. And a vital sign is that that Holy Spirit is in us and that we are walking and functioning in power. Not just a kind of a mundane, incognito type of a Christian life, but that we are living a power-filled life. Vital sign number four, then, is the sign of obedience. The sign of obedience. And I want to give you three keys to always do the right thing. Three keys to always do the right thing. Now, when we talk about obedience, that could be a really, really short message. God says it, do it, amen, let's go home. I mean, it really is that simple, isn't it? Do we have to learn how to obey? I know when I'm, as a parent, and, you know, some parents would do the, you know, the one, two, three, you know, counting thing when their kids, when they want their kids to do something. And I always thought that was kind of silly. Why give the kids two chances to obey before you get to, I mean, to disobey before you get to three and then they do what you tell them to do? They've already disobeyed twice as much as you wanted them to obey. It's pretty simple. I said it. The answer is yes. If I said it now, the answer is now. Not waiting until I have to get angry or get up out of my chair or come at you with a scowl to get you to budge. It's really pretty simple. God says it, we do it. The real problem, I think, with obedience is not necessarily the rebellion part, although that is very, very true in all of our lives. We just get into those times when we rebel. But when we talk about doing the right thing, sometimes we don't know. And when I say the right thing, I don't mean the difference between good and evil. I mean the right thing with, well, let's take, to embarrass Sheila and Deke, since they're newly engaged couple. Why not embarrass them on that day? The Bible doesn't say anywhere in any one of the letters, Sheila, this handsome fella is the one for you. Marry him. She can search the scripture all day long and not find that. How does she know it's the right thing? You follow me, right? How do you know which job to take? How do you know if you're going to make a move? How do you know in any decision, change vocation, whatever it is, sometimes the right thing isn't as easy as turning to chapter and verse and going, oh, God said it. Simple. I'll just obey that. It's not so easy sometimes to do the right thing. Today I want to talk to you about obedience and doing the right thing, but in the context of hearing His voice. I need to be able to learn from God how to hear His voice so that I can then do the right thing. Because God could be speaking and I don't know because I'm not hearing Him. God could be leading and directing, but I'm not following. I'm distracted or I'm confused or I'm just not attentive. Or maybe I don't even know how, really, to hear God's voice and to understand what He's telling me. Many times, it's been, I don't know how many times, loads and loads of times, someone that I know, usually amongst pastoral circles, will come and they'll see Sandra or myself and they'll say, oh, well, you know, you guys have been at Cupertino a long time. How long have you been there? And say, well, since 85. It's been a long time. Whoa, that's amazing. That never happens. How did you do it? And I look at them with this strange look as if we actually had something to do with it. Can I tell you with all sincerity, we had nothing to do with it. Zero. Oh, you must have had a lot of endurance and patience. Oh, you're so faithful. It's got nothing to do with that. What it has everything to do with, God said in 1985, this is where I want you. And since then, He hasn't said leave. Done. You follow me? It's as simple as that. You hear God, you obey God. God doesn't speak, you don't move. Like in the wilderness, in the book of Exodus and so on, and through Numbers actually, God's cloud guided the people by day, the fire guided them by night. That was a template for our following God today. When the cloud or the fire moved, they moved. If the cloud or the fire didn't move, they didn't move. Amen. We're done. Go home. Well, we'll learn more. We don't have a cloud today. We don't have a pillar of fire hovering around the South Bay. It might be easier if we did, but we don't. But we got something better. We got the Holy Spirit in our life. He's in us, talking to us, because He's a person, right? He's always, always here. So this morning, I want to teach us how to hear His voice, how to develop that listening ear, and what to do. You know, when we do, giving you three keys. Here's what I do know. That you cannot do the right thing if you don't know what the right thing is. You can't obey the word if you don't know what the word says. So this first key point. Know the voice of the Lord from His word. His word is His voice. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Can we just say that together? It's not a scripture, but it might as well be. Let's say it together. Know the voice of the Lord from His word. His word is His voice. Why do we call it God's word and then we think it's not His voice? When I say it's my word, my kids know, my wife knows, my friends know, that's my voice. Because that's what I said. The Bible, this is what God said. Now He said it through people over the course of, you know, 1400 or so years, through 44 plus authors, from shepherds to kings to tax collectors to Pharisees. He spoke through people, but the word says that it didn't come from those people. It came from God through them as He gave them the understanding to write down for us. And you know what? This word of God has never failed me one time. I failed it many times. I've looked inside and went, this is what God says to do, but I think He missed it on this one. I'm going to try going over this way. And you know what I find at the end of that road? He was right. Anybody been there? I think I know which way to go. Let's try a new path. Isn't this kind of a religious book anyway? Isn't it kind of old and ancient and kind of out of touch? I think there's a better, newer way to go. Knock yourself out. You'll find yourself coming right back to the Word of God. Because it's His voice. It's the eternal Creator's voice. Sometimes you can find exactly what to do in here. God, that neighbor is driving me nuts. What am I going to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. Dang it. It's in there. Shoot. And so on and so on. Sometimes it's directly in there. Sometimes it's not, like the example I use with Sheila. But you know what? Principles are all throughout the scripture. You can find a principle for everything in your life, in God's word, even though you may not find a command. Should I marry this guy? I don't know, man. He's looking kind of shady to me. Not so sure. He's got that look. Come around here messing with our girls. What does Sheila say? What are the principles? It doesn't say in here, marry him or not marry him. What it does say is he a man of God? Don't be unequally yoked. But find someone who is of the same mind as you. That's in the scripture. Does he have the fruit of the Spirit in his life? Is there maturing happening? It's a principle. Find somebody like that. Don't find somebody who's carnal. Does he honor you? So scripture talks about a man ought to lay down his life as the head of the household and sacrifice himself for his wife. Does he do those kind of things? And on and on. And as I know Sheila, I know that she would not be in this situation unless she'd already found those things to be true. And therefore, we can bless this. The principles are there, if not directly commanded in God's word. If you don't know, if you can't obey the word, you don't know. And how can you obey the word? So let me say it again. If you can't obey the word, you do know. How can you obey the word that you're waiting to hear? Some of us really struggle with, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what I should, how I should decide in this situation. But you're not really sure what the word of God says. And so it leaves you confused. Church, you don't have to be confused. Know God's word. He will guide you. Trust him. He will lead you. He will show you principles, if not directly, the way you should go in the scripture. He is always, always, always clear with us, with how to go. What father wouldn't be clear? I want my kids to know which way to go. I don't purposely dangle them in some confusing situation just to watch them struggle. God is a good father, and he loves us. So how do we expect to hear from the voice of God when we haven't really delved into the voice that we already have and that we already know to be true? I remember one day, one night, we had a prayer meeting, and I've shared this story a lot, but it's so vivid. It's even like today. I'm a pacer when I pray, and I've told you guys that a lot. I fall asleep. Anybody else fall asleep when you pray? I do. I get on my hands and knees or I bow before the Lord, and before I know it, I'm conked out. So I don't think, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you can't pray walking. And so I just do that. And so I was pacing across the front and I'm calling on God, you know, God, reach the city. God, reach the city. We want to see the lost saved. Lord, reach them. And as I got about over here on this side by where Eddie and John are, I hear the Lord say, what are you asking me for? And it kind of caught me off guard. I went, what do you mean? He said, well, I've already asked you to do that. What are you asking me to do what I've asked you to do? Oh yeah, you're right. The Bible says, go into all the world, make disciples. Oh, yeah, the Bible says I'll receive power and I will be a witness. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry, God, it's my job. What am I asking you to do what you've already told me to do? And it was crystal clear. It's in his word. We can cut out a lot of asking God stuff just by reading the word and realizing what he's already told us. How many times do we pray and we're asking questions we already have the answer for? If we would just bother to look and find out the truth that is in God's word. So a couple of principles here. One, recognize God's word as God's voice. Open the word. Open it every day. If you knew without a doubt that God would speak to you every day and that he would show you step by step what to do throughout your day, how many would take the time to listen? Okay. He's already doing it. It's already here. This is his voice to us every day. But somehow we get this idea that it's different. Since it's in print and it's not audible, it can't really be the same. It is the same. God's eternal, infallible, perfect word. is right here in our hands, and he speaks to us through this. But some of us still struggle. I love the quote by Mark Twain, classic quote. You've no doubt heard it. And Mark Twain said, it's not the things that are not in the Bible I have trouble with. It's the things in the Bible I have trouble with. And some of us avoid God's word because of that. I know what's in there. I don't want to read it. La, 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 la. So we think if we'll avoid it long enough, it'll somehow go away. And open it up. No, it didn't go away. There it is again. Be holy as I am holy. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn the other cheek. Oh, God, why do you say that? I'll just close it and pretend I didn't hear that. His word is still there. It's his word. Learn to respond to what you do understand as the foundation for responding to what you don't understand. Okay, let me say that again. Hopefully it'll be clear. Learn to respond to what you do understand. This is what we understand. This is clear. When we learn to respond to this, it lays the foundation for our seeking and our hearing for the things that we don't yet know. Those questions that aren't specific. You follow me? Everybody follow me? Okay, got to get this. This is the foundation. This is step one. This is clear. Open it up. There it is, right there in print. Okay, let that be the foundation then as you practice hearing and obeying the word we do have for then the questions that we have that aren't here, that we need to follow his principles or even at times hear his voice in our lives. Let me give you one here. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let me see if this hits home for anybody. This is not in your notes. Especially at this time of year, right now. Titus 3, verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. How many are having a hard time with that verse during this election season? I wasn't sure how that one would go over. Went over about as well as I thought it would. How much social media do we have to read by Christians whipping out the sword and slandering and not being considerate and peaceable and showing true humility? That doesn't say you can't disagree. You just do so with respect. It doesn't say you need to agree with whatever the candidates are saying. I think it would probably be safe to say that no one in the room agrees with everything the candidates are saying. But you see, there's something bigger going on here. There's something bigger. There's a kingdom of God that is bigger than the kingdom of the United States. Even bigger than the kingdom of this world. You should register and you should vote. Every one of us. You should voice your opinion, but do so with respect and consideration. That's our process and that's okay. You should consider the long-term effects of the decisions that we make. But who in this building right now can turn the Bible and say, I know who I'm voting for because I can read it in God's word. Last I checked, I'm not seeing Trump in here. I'm not seeing Clinton. I'm not seeing Johnson or whatever candidate might be. So we need the wisdom of the Lord, right? Therefore, we need his principles. And as we search this out, we need to hear his voice. Respectfully. With consideration, because there is a bigger kingdom, the kingdom of God. And it's more important than even the condition of a nation, which God already told us is going to crumble anyway. Not that we want to hurry the process. Everybody follow me right now? All right. Hear his voice. God is speaking. Here's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. How many have got that verse memorized, those two verses? You should. Everybody should memorize these. These are life verses. These are everyday, hear the voice of God, do the right thing verses. Right here. Say it with me together, would you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That's good stuff. That's in the Bible. Trust in the Lord. Well, I think I know which way to go. Lean not on your own understanding. I think I've got this wired. I can do this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. He'll make your path straight. He always will. He always does. Number two key. Learn to hear the voice of the Lord. Sometimes you can't find in the Scripture what you're looking for, and it leaves you a bit confused. Maybe it leaves you a bit off kilter. You're not sure what to do. Well, God's a person, right? Vital sign number one. Is God speaking to us? He is, whether by His word or to our hearts. You're in a relationship with a real good Father. And He wants to talk to you. As a matter of fact, I believe He's always talking. It's usually my brain and my mind that's not always listening. What we need to do is learn to recognize, or you learn to recognize someone's voice by spending time with him or her. My wife can call me and I can pick up the phone, and when she says hello, I know who it is. Immediately, I know her voice. How many have someone close to you that they don't even hardly have to speak and you know? Sometimes if I know I've done something wrong, she doesn't have to say a word. I just feel the vibration in the phone. I'm in trouble now. You know their voice. How do you know their voice? By spending time. To me, all babies' cries sound alike. They all do. It shivers down the spine. But mothers here this morning, how many in the midst of cries, can you hear your baby's cry? You know, right? You can tell. It's your baby. To the non-parent, it's just noise. To you, that's the precious cry of the one you love. And you can tell. God is speaking to us all the time. Krista, would you come up right now? Babe, can you hand me that microphone? This is kind of an impromptu moment, but Krista came to me this morning and said she had felt that the Lord was speaking to her. And as we sang, Jesus, it always is you, it always will be you, that she felt like the Lord really ministered something to her heart. And I said, you know what, that'll fit great. Because the Lord is always talking to us. And when He does, it moves us. Krista, why don't you just take a couple of seconds and share what the Lord said to you.
All right. So many of you know me, some of you don't. I have been fighting metastatic breast cancer for 6.5 years. I believe what's in this word is that Jesus paid the price for my diseases, and His plan is to heal me, that He has plans for my future, that in Psalm 92, it says that I'll bear fruit in my old age. And I don't feel like I'm quite old enough yet to be bearing fruit in my old age. But it has been 6.5 years, and it has been a hard battle, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, you name it. It is a hard battle. But I've lived life knowing what His word says. That doesn't mean that I don't come under it. And I would say the month of September, just the length of the time, the length of the fight, having had two kind of back-to-back not good reports, I just felt worn out. Like, God, You said You were going to heal me, and it's gone too long. I can't do this anymore. It's too much. And in doing that, I started more and more, the focus was on me, not on Him. I this, I that. And it was 2 weeks ago, and we were worshiping, and I just was crying out my pain to God. And God just said, Krista, it's not about you, it's about me. This journey I'm on, that I've been walking, has never been about me. It's about Him. It's about bringing glory to Him. It's about honoring Him. It's about telling people about Him. And when I get my eyes on me and, oh, woe is me, I have the worst life ever, then it's about me. And you know what? It's a crappy life then, quite frankly. But as long as my eyes are not on me, then my eyes are on him. This journey is about him. Man. The people I touch at work, the people I touch at the hospital, the people I touch at church, at the grocery store, wherever. Mm-hmm. The journey is about him. So whether your journey is difficult, whether your journey is good, where all of you are in different places where your journeys are at, it is his story, Amen. His journey in you. That's what you got to remember.
Amen.
It's his story, his journey.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Krista. How many hear the truth in that? It changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. Even the horror of a battle with cancer is changed to giving God glory when it's about him and not about us. Still not pleasant, but it's about him. And as God walks us through and as we await his touch, everything we do is about him. We learn to obey his voice. And God's been speaking to the Scarbeck family over the years because of this ongoing thing. How do we begin to attune it? Remember, I already said that as we lay the foundation of God's word in our heart, that then we can begin to tune in to his voice that's not in his word. And one of the things I do is I memorize scripture. I do it a lot, and I'm so proud of Marcos to have up here. Even he's learning scripture. And here's what I know. As he learns God's voice from memorizing that, he'll then start to develop the listening ear to God's voice that is not in scripture. Because you learn to hear someone's voice and to notice their voice by spending time with them. So what are some principles here on hearing his voice? How do we learn how to do that? One, be convinced that God will speak and is speaking. Some of us don't hear God's voice because we're pretty convinced that he's not going to talk to us. Well, God talks to that person over there. Well, Krista, she's kind of spiritual. She's one of those, ooh, people. You know, I'm not one of those. God never talks to me. Yes, he does. God talks to all of us. He doesn't have any favorite sons or daughters. He doesn't have any, I like you, I'll talk to you, but that guy over there, not talking to them. He's talking to all of us. He wants to talk to all of us. And I believe he's speaking all the time. It's how do we listen? How do we tune in? So the first step in hearing God's voice is to actually believe that he's talking to you. Because if you don't believe that, then he can't get through that wall that you've developed that says he's not talking to me. Number two, take time to listen. Take time. I got to take time to listen to my wife. Sometimes, honestly, I'm really tuned in and I feel like it. Sometimes she knows that she can see my look, that I'm somewhere else. That she can tell I'm not listening. And I've got to shake it off, or she has to shake me off, or slap me off, or do something to wake me up. Put down the remote. Listen to me. And it's my love that wants to do that so I can hear her voice. Do you take time to listen to God? We get up in the morning, boom, we're going, boom, out the door, doing our stuff, in the car, with the radio, to work, boom, 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 get home, take care of stuff, take care of the kids, do the homework, bah, watch this, do that, ah, get to bed, oh, what an exhausting day, thank you God for the day, see you tomorrow, boom, next day, go, here we go, we're off, and we're supposed to hear God? How many's lives feel like that? It may not be, you know, so much, but it feels like that. You go, man, I can't wait to retire so I can hear God. And you hear about the retired people saying they're busier now than they've ever been. It's hopeless. When are we going to hear God unless we set aside time to hear God? There are principles God has given us. Things like prayer, fasting, meditation. And I'm not talking about some freaky meditation that the Eastern mystic meditation just ripped off God's biblical meditation. To focus on him, to hear his voice, to unplug. To get away from all of the stuff, take time to listen. You need alone time. You need separation time. You need unplugged time. Because there are many distractions. How many know there are many? So we've got to work on removing those things. What are the distractions in your life that you need to remove? What are those things that get in your head and compete with God's voice? What are the things that you know you should be listening to, but because there's so many other noises that it's really hard to hear what God is saying? How many know what I'm talking about the distracting voices in your mind? Do you understand? Okay, thanks, Mark. How many initially were just like, dang, sound men, what's wrong with them? Can't they get it right? Isn't it annoying when you want to hear God's voice, but there's so many distractions? There's competing voices. I'm hearing this, and 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 I'm hearing this. God, where's your voice in that? I can't hear you. Well, you got to work at removing the distractions, whatever they might be. It could be something very practical, and that is put down the phone for an hour a day. Don't pick it up. Don't pick up the computer for an hour a day. Don't turn on the radio or the television or whatever. When you drive, maybe don't turn on the radio and just let it be quiet. I'd be interested to see how that works if we did an experiment. How many insane people would we get because we're suffering noise deprivation? I can't concentrate. It's too quiet. I'm fascinated by the number of young people who can't study when it's too quiet. They've got to go to a coffee shop where it's noisy. Because there's this conditioned thing that if it's too quiet, I lose my mind. What is going on with that? What happened to be still and know that I'm God? Sometimes we've got to really work hard at removing the distractions. Go take a quiet walk. Find a quiet corner. Best to have a daily time. We call it our daily quiet time. So that we can at least have a little bit of focus time amidst all the daily distractions that are always really, really there. And one more. I think in your outlines it was kind of put in the wrong place. But this next bullet point. When you ask, God will answer. He always answers. No, Pastor. He doesn't answer me. No, he does answer you. Just sometimes you don't like the answer he's giving you. God will always answer yes, no, or wait. And in the occasion where he's maybe not saying immediately when you put your little coin in your prayer vending machine and he didn't just pop out the answer for you, when he's kind of waiting, that's a wait answer. If there's no answer coming, that means just relax. I'll get to it. And timing is everything. Amen? Timing is everything. How many barbecuers do we have? Timing is everything, right? Between a great steak and a lousy steak. Right? Who enjoyed the Olympics this last August? Timing is everything from a gold medal to not even being mentioned. And sometimes it's just a half a second. Timing is everything from surviving a wound because you made it to the hospital on time, or the ambulance arrived just a little late and you didn't get the care. It's life and death sometimes, timing is. When you stepped out into the street and went, and that car whizzed by, timing is everything. One more second and you're a goner. See, God knows his timing. Why do we get so impatient when we're saying, I'm praying, God, I'm praying, God, I'm praying, God. You're not hearing me, you're not hearing me, you're not hearing me. God, I'm hearing you very, very clearly. I am the God who is eternal. I am the God who is already in your future. And if you just hold your drawers a little bit and wait on my timing, my way is better than yours. Relax. True? God will say yes sometimes. God will say no sometimes. God will say wait sometimes because his timing is wrong. And every answer is great because he's God and he loves his children. He'll always, always, always answer with the answer that's best for you. Here's what John says. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from a stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We need that verse in our hearts. God, I want to know your voice so I can follow you. And I want to know your voice so that I will also recognize a stranger's voice and run from him. If you don't know God's voice, you might follow a stranger's voice because you don't know the difference. But when you know God's voice, you not only know him to follow, you also know the strangers not to follow. It's very, very clear at that point. Key number three, learn to respond to the voice of God. Learn to respond. It's one thing to be able to hear him. It's another thing to be able to actually do something with that and to respond. There's one response to God that's always the appropriate one. Anybody know the answer to that?
Yes.
That's the response. It's really simple. God, I believe I hear you. My response is yes. When we say yes, we acknowledge him as Lord. We acknowledge him as our guide. We acknowledge him as trustworthy. We acknowledge him as faithful. We acknowledge that he knows more than we do. When we say yes, it always works. When we say no, it never works. Never does, never will. How many biblical examples do we need to show us it never works? Ever. 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 For the stubborn ones in the room, ever, ever. Because some really aren't convinced. And I know that because we'll go out today and we'll make a decision that we already knew God said not to do. And we'll do it. Or we'll hear what he said to do and we'll go, makes no sense, not doing it. Okay. The Jonahs of this world. Go ahead and be whale barf. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, Jonah, book of the Bible, Old Testament, read it yourself. God is speaking. Learn how to respond. For Sandra and myself, we have lived a life together. We talked about this actually last night. And as we're talking, just kind of realize we're just ordinary people. But God has given us a great life. A great life. Great church. Great friends. Great family. We're, praise God, financially healthy. We're, for the most part, physically healthy. Nothing real, you know, man, I pray for you, Krista. We don't suffer the way she does. And like, wow, God, how come, you know, we're not any better? And to boil it all down, what did we do different? Nothing. Just a repetitive answer of, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then he does the rest. When he says go, you go. When he says don't go, you don't go. When he says stop, you stop. When he says wait, you wait. If he's not saying anything, then you wait till he does. It's really very, very, very simple. And we have so many stories. Time's not going to allow me to tell them this morning. Just some principles I'll give you so we can close up. Simple. If God has not spoken, then why are you going? I ask this of pastors all the time. God led me to this ministry 2 years later. God led me away from this ministry. I'm going, God is confused. I'm not thinking God here. I'm thinking you're having an issue that you don't want to face, and therefore you're just going to chicken out and run away. Many of you may be struggling in this valley because it's expensive to live here. And you go, I'd really like to own a home sometime. And so you're contemplating making a move. Did God say? If God didn't say, where are you going? If God says, praise him. Send you off with blessing. I can't even count how many times good-meaning folks have said, Pastor, you know, we're really going to make a move. And I say, really? How's God helped you in that process? Well, we're, you know, we just think it's better. It'll just be better for our finance. It'll be better for, well, what has God said? Well, we've thought about it. And we just, it makes sense to us. Oh boy, we're in trouble. Another person going when God didn't say go. Another person leaving the camp when the fire didn't move or the cloud didn't move. Here's what I know. If God's not saying, where are you going? Hear him. Hear him. Number two, If God is not speaking, then wait until he does. Pastor, I don't know. We've been praying, we fasted, and we're just really not sure yet. Okay, then the timing maybe is not quite right. Wait until you get clarity. Wait until you get clarity. God's not like a ferry boat. Like, oh no, missed the boat. Now we're not going to get there. God gets it. And he even gets the fact that sometimes we don't hear very well. He still got you. Be safe. Feel secure. If he's not speaking, whether it's he's waiting or whether you're not hearing, then just wait until you do. Waiting is the hardest part. I heard a sermon one time called The Weight of Waiting. Oh, it's good. I wish I had said that. You feel that, don't you? When you wait, it feels like pressure. And it gets heavier and it gets heavier and it gets heavier. You're waiting. Why is that? Isn't it strange? The reason it feels like wait is because we want what we want. But I want to do it now. I want to go now. I'll miss my opportunity. I need to get this done. That's where the wait comes from. Not from the actual waiting on God, but our wants that are pushing against him. If he's not speaking, then wait until he does. When God does speak, don't hesitate to move. When he says go, go. Trust him. He says jump, jump. You're going to be okay. Maybe it's scary. Maybe it doesn't even make sense. But when you know it's God and it's clear, you go. And when you say yes, it will always work. Always. There's some examples in the Bible, and I close with these. King Saul, he was anointed king by Samuel, and Samuel said, wait for me, and I'm going to come and offer the sacrifice before the people. Samuel was a little late, and Saul got panicky. Oh, gotta go. This isn't right. Oh, no, I'm getting scared. Oh, what are we going to do? Anybody ever felt like that? God, I'm at the last minute. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. Oh, I'm going to run out of money. Oh, it's going to happen. Oh, Here's what Samuel said to him after Saul had already made the sacrifice in direct disobedience to God's word. Here's what Saul said. I saw that the men were scattering and that you didn't come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembled. So I felt compelled. And Samuel said, you acted foolishly. Notice the components there. Everything was falling apart. Men were scattering. I got afraid. Things were not the way they were supposed to. I got, it's bad. And then you didn't come at the set time. God, you didn't answer when I prayed. I went to the drive-up window and I said, I want a number two, God. And then I went to the window and a number two did not come out. The set time, and you did not follow the set time. How many know? God does not follow us. We follow him. Amen. And then I felt compelled. I didn't know what else to do. I had to do it. I had to. And God, you made me. And Samuel, and God, I didn't make you. You acted foolishly. Saul and Samuel, Saul felt compelled because it seemed too urgent to pass up. Fear of other and uncertain appearances make us take matters into our own hands. Don't let fear or uncertainty make you take matters into your own hands. God is with you. He's your Father. He will always answer. His timing is always right. Trust him. And there was this man named Abraham, pushing 100 years old, his wife up in years as well. God said, you're going to have a baby. From your body, you're going to have a baby. And that baby then will turn into a great nation. I'm blessing you. Here's what scripture says. And the word of the Lord came to Abraham. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Sarah then said to Abraham later, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. How many know how that worked out? For those that don't know, not good. That's where we get the Jews and the Arabs today. Still fighting. God's promise. from your body, you'll have a son of promise. But God, it's not happening. It's not happening. You've kept me from having a child. It's not working the way you said. I don't know what you're doing. Perhaps I can figure out a better way. Go sleep with Hagar. Maybe that'll work. How'd that work? Not good. Never does, never will. See, church, we always, always, always get ahead of God and mess it up. Illogical promises. How logical is having a baby when you're 100? Pretty messed up. Illogical promises or commands make us take things in our own hands. Sometimes God just wants to do something really special. And I figured out that the more illogical it seems to me, the more special it ends up being after it's all done. And we go, whoa, never saw that coming. And then God goes, that's what I do. I'm God. You're not. God is so good. It might seem illogical. It might not make sense. But when God says, it works. How about instead, let's be like Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:10, when it says, the Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. That's the heart we need today. Speak, your servant is listening. Are you confused? Are you at a crossroads right now? Are you at one of those places where you just really need to hear God's voice? Can I tell you, key number one, search the Word. His Word and His principles are true. Okay, to be fair, maybe what you're needing is not in here. And the principles, though, will guide you to finding His voice. And so you begin to realize He is talking. Take the time to listen. Remove the distractions. And because you've already based your life on His Word and you've been cultivating a listening ear, you can hear God's voice and He's speaking. He might say yes. He might say no. He might say wait. You might not hear anything right away. But keep listening and keep praying. And in due time, when the timing is right, you'll hear His voice. In the meantime, if you're not hearing His voice, don't get ahead of Him. It'll end up bad. If he's not speaking, wait until He does. When you hear Him, then you can go with boldness. Because you know. You can face any issues when you know God said go. You can go through the valley of the shadow of death when you know God said is go. You can face anything when God says go. Let's trust His Word today. A vital sign is learning how to hear God's voice and obeying what He says. And we need that today. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that You are true and that You are speaking. I thank You just for a life with You. We never have to guess again when we trust Your Word. Yeah, it might get a little crazy. We might get a little bit, wow, God, are You there? But You've told us to live by faith, not by sight. And I pray, Lord, that You would help this church family to be a hearing church. That we know Your Word, we know Your principles, and we know Your voice. And with that truth in our hearts, You will always direct our path. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask those that have need for prayer. Hey, Pastor, right now, I'm asking and I'm not sure which way to go. And I know that the Bible does say that it's powerful to agree with other people. Would you say right now, you're at a place of decision, you really need to hear God, and right now you're struggling with hearing God. Would you lift your hand? But people like that? Okay, there's quite a few. All right, yeah, that's kind of normal. We should be seeking Him for those decisions. When we're done this morning, I ask you that raised your hand to find a prayer partner up front, join with them, share with them, and let them pray with you. And then listen. God is so good. He wants to touch us. You might be sitting here today thinking, I'd like to be able to hear from God, but I'm not even sure I believe yet. But after today, I think I want to take the step of making Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross to forgive me of my sin, and I want to submit myself to Him. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but at the end of service, if you want to pray with someone, and there'll be prayer partners up front here, and you just want to say, today, it's clear to me that I'm not following God, and I want to. I make the decision today to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Pray that with one of these prayer partners. On the back of your connection card, you can check, I'd like more information of what it means to follow Christ. And we'll get in touch with you, and we'll help you with some steps that will be very, very clear and will guide you in your next steps. All right? God is good, and He's talking. Let's be people who listen and obey. Pastor Sean.